views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. Each week, you'll learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness and explore the deeper knowledge within. Welcome home. Now here's your host, Dr. Kelly Neff.
Hello, everyone. I am Dr. Kelly, and you are listening to Lucid Planet Radio on Transformation Talk Radio and WBLQ, 1230 AM, Rhode Island, Connecticut, and New York. Stay with us for the next hour, and let us help you experience inspiration, creativity, and knowledge. Every week on Lucid Planet Radio, we will have some of the most gifted scientists, healers, speakers, and authors helping you to become the greatest version of yourself and live your dreams. You can find out more on thelucidplanet.com and stream all of our archive podcasts for free on lucidplanetradio.com, iTunes, and SoundCloud by searching for Lucid Planet Radio. And you can also connect with me, Dr. Kelly Neff, on Facebook and Twitter by searching for The Lucid Planet with Dr. Kelly. Here at Lucid Planet Radio, we are also pleased to announce that we have recently been picked up by CRN Digital Talk Radio, which is bringing us to over 11 million homes in the U.S. and over 100 countries, including 25 stations just in Australia. Wow. This is a great time to jump in, become a sponsor, partner, or advertiser of the show. Just go to our website, thelucidplanet.com, or email me directly for more information. That's drkellyneff@gmail.com. Again, Dr. K-E-L-L-Y-N-E-F-F at gmail.com. Stay tuned for more on that. Well, today's show is about one of my favorite topics and one of my favorite, really, television programs, Ancient Aliens. And really, the main goal of investigation is, if ancient aliens visited Earth, who were they and where did they come from and why were they here? There is a plethora of possible historic evidence and beliefs from around the world that we're going to explore today with none other than the host of Ancient Aliens, Giorgio Tsoukalos. What a pleasure to have Giorgio on the show. If you're not familiar with Giorgio, he has worked very closely with Eric von Daniken, the founding father, really, of the ancient astronaut theory. And he has also been publishing Legendary Times magazine since 1998, and he's really considered one of the leading experts on the ancient aliens theory. He has traveled the globe exploring various historic sites, both with TV endeavors and in private expeditions. And today, we will have the opportunity to hear about the new Ancient Aliens Season 9, including Giorgio's first trip to Australia to explore some of the Aboriginal mysteries, his magazine that has a new edition focusing on China, India, and the ancient megaliths, a really exciting new adventure where Giorgio is going to lead an exposition to various historic sites for the fans. And we can all find out more about how to contact Giorgio, books, DVDs, other good stuff and cool things. And we can't forget about his hair, which is so famous that it has its own Facebook following page of over 26,000 people. So we'll have to talk about that as well. And on that note, let's please welcome Giorgio to the show. Welcome, Giorgio.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
It's wonderful to have you here. And, you know, you really are quite the rock star of ufology. You are possibly one of the most well-known alien theorists. And I just have to ask you right off the bat, what is it like being so famous on the internet? That meme of you that just keeps going around, your hair is extremely famous. It has more Facebook fan followers than many actual people. What is that like?
I can't explain it, but I got to tell you this. I've got the best fans on the entire planet. The outpouring of support and love has been tremendous. And, you know, it's quite amazing to experience all this love that has been given with the meme and with the show and things like that. So it's quite awesome.
So you love it. That's awesome. I love it too. Do you have, I literally have a handful of fan questions about your hair. And I thought I'd just like get those out of the way. So,
sure.
But they're asking, do you have a stylist? Do you do your own hair? Do you go to a number of different stylists? Does your hair just kind of have a life of its own? Like, we need to know.
No, I do my own hair, but my stylist's name, her name is Ariselli, and she's the one that cuts my hair. But every time that I go out on a shoot or something like that, I style my own hair. She cuts it, but the styling I do myself. And where I put my finger in the socket for about 2 seconds, and that'll about do it.
I was thinking maybe there was like some alien light frequency currents, you know, like.
Well, you never know. You never know.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, thank you for thank you for that. And I just also want to know, what inspired you to kind of devote your career to the study and the theorizing about ancient aliens?
Well, ever since I was a little boy, I was fascinated by this theory, because I have to thank my grandma for this, because ever since I was little, she was the one that introduced me to those stories of Atlantis and ancient astronauts and Edgar Cayce and things like that. Those were my bedtime stories whenever my grandma used to visit and things like that.
Cool.
And so I was exposed to these ideas at a very early age. And then as I grew older, all of a sudden I realized that there was something to these stories. There's something there. And as I grew up, as I became older, I started to read books. And to make a long story short, I was hooked. But it was definitely an introduction to ancient mysteries, and just that, you know, not everything that we're being told is the truth. That's something that's been instilled upon me at a very early age. So that's sort of the way how I got into all of this.
I love that, because that as a child, you have that kind of, you don't have these walls up of society and what you've been taught. You're very open, and you can really connect to that intuition and those feelings of truth. And I think we can all agree there's something in the Atlantis story and the idea of this kind of like human, hidden, ancient, lost civilization that does resonate with many of us, and has led so many of us to kind of go on these quests to find out.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, one thing that seems to get missed in this entire discussion is that there are only a few people that, you know, give statements with absolute certainty. And with us, a lot of us, we ask questions. We, you know, a lot of people have forgotten that, for example, in Chariots of the Gods, not only does the title, or did the original edition of the title, have a question mark in it, but in the book itself, there were over 230 question marks, and everybody seems to be forgetting that we're asking questions. And yes, I personally, and so is Eric von Daniken, David Childress, we are convinced that we've been visited by extraterrestrials in the remote past, and perhaps even today. But at the same time, we are being put at the windows by saying, look, these guys are saying these are all facts, that the pyramids have been built by aliens and things like that. And the bottom line is, I personally have never said that the pyramids, for example, were built by aliens. Quite on the contrary, they were built by our human ancestors, but with the assistance of the guardians of the sky, which in my opinion were extraterrestrials.
Mm-hmm. It's so important. Thank you for pointing that out too, because a lot of people, I believe it's out of fear of the unknown, and because it doesn't fit in the conditioned paradigm that we're raised with in the society, that, you know, it's completely possible that there are alternative explanations. But you're right. No one on the show, I've watched a lot of the show and I've seen your talks. I saw you at a Contact in the Desert a couple of years ago. And, you know, you never once say this is definitely how it is, because we simply can't make those. We can't know. We cannot know for sure. Just like we cannot know for sure, you know, why we are here, right?
It's, oh my gosh. And then there are so many cool things that are happening in science all around us right now, where, you know, the other day I read that they are now able to 3D print a human heart. I mean, we are living in the middle of science fiction stories. This is fantastic, because, you know, it's as if you can create now spare parts. So you no longer have to grow an entire human for spare parts. You can now 3D print spare parts. I mean, it's incredible. Yet at the same time, we are being told that, you know, all these inventions and all these ideas are unique in the entire universe. And I'm sorry, I disagree with that. We're not the first.
I mean, I feel that from a statistical, mathematical, logical perspective, there has to be some truth in that. We have like a minute or so left to the break, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on, I mean, how is it really possible for us to be completely alone and for us to be the first who have developed these technologies?
Well, because, look, the universe is so vast. When in the 1960s, there was a gentleman by the name of Frank Drake came up with equation that is today known as the Drake equation. And in this Drake equation, it's basically this mathematical thing where even if you plug in the worst type of scenarios, the worst numbers, the result that you will get in, it basically calculates the likelihood of intelligence or life in the universe. So even by plugging in the least likely of numbers, you will still end up with at least a million civilizations in our galaxy alone. And there are billions and billions of galaxies. So, to me, I always find it fascinating how people are offended by the idea of extraterrestrials. When on the other hand, I think it's offensive to God to say that we are the only ones in the universe, because it means that creation would have not been more bigger than us. And we're not that amazing.
Yeah, we're not. I agree. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly, we are going to talk so much more with Giorgio Tsoukalos about ancient aliens, season 9, and all the things. Maybe more on the hair, maybe not. But stay with us. We'll be right back.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Tim Darter.
And I'm Steve Kramer.
Join us on Spirit Fire Radio. Discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day.
And watch yourself connect in a whole new way. Find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio.
Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. for your weekly guide to practical mindfulness. And to learn more, visit www.spiritfireradio.com.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good, and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
We are back on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly, and my guest today is none other than Giorgio Tsoukalos, who is talking with us, of course, about ancient aliens. But before we continue, I just want to make sure everyone knows how to contact you, Giorgio, to find out more about ancient aliens and legendary times.
Yeah, you can go over to legendarytimesbooks.com, or you can also go to Facebook/ Giorgio Tsoukalos fans. And, that all the information that you're looking for will be right there.
Yes, and including awesome memes and don't forget the fan page of the hair, which has like 26,000 followers or something.
Yes, which I had absolutely nothing to do with. And it's just, this is one of the examples I was saying earlier that, you know, these are all things that grew or are growing organically. And, you know, it's completely unexpected and truly awesome. So
truly
I'm very
awesome.
Thankful for it.
Grassroots movement, vote Sukaloose. Anyway, I want to talk about some of the proof that ancient aliens have existed. And of course, proof, I put in air quotes, because really this is all open to interpretation. And
yes.
There is so much amazing content on the show, so many sites where there are feats of engineering or architecture that far could have exceeded any Stone Age skills or abilities. Ollantaytambo in Peru, for example, those giant blocks. There's just so much stuff. And I'd love to hear from you, Georgia. What is really in your sphere right now is some of the most interesting, most exciting, or most convincing evidence that we have?
I'm impressed that you just mentioned Ollantaytambo, first of all, because
it's like
there.
My favorite. I'm obsessed with that. Yeah.
Have you visited so far?
Oh, no. Dude, I haven't visited any of the sites, and I really hope that opportunity is in my future soon. And I know you're going to have a tour for the fans coming up, right?
I'm sure it will be. I'm sure it will be that one day you have to put these things on your bucket list because, yes. You know, for example, at Ollantaytambo, I'm glad you mentioned that place because, yeah. And you'll see when you go there, there are two places or two important parts to that site, and that is the most important thing that every tourist goes to see there is at the top of the hill where you have these massive megaliths that are fitted together into a wall, four giant massive monoliths that are fit together, and they're so perfectly together that you can't put a dollar bill in between the fittings. I mean, they don't have any binding agents, no concrete or anything like that. So it's just massive blocks that have been fitted together so precisely that you can't even move them. I mean, it's really amazing. And in the vicinity of that place up there, there's one rock where you can actually see that a blade went into the andesite, and you can actually see where about four or five attempts have been made in the rock where the blade actually went in. And, you know, those are things where you have to wonder, are the stories of these stones having been cut with chicken bones and the like, are those stories true, or is there something else to the story? And I think that we have examples where we can show that some type of blade technology was used or saw type technology was used back in the day that required higher advanced technology than what our archaeologists today are suggesting our ancestors had access to. And therein lies the problem that, you know, I will tell you immediately that if I am wrong, so be it. I don't have a problem with it, but there are certain pieces of physical evidence that even if we tried to replicate it in the lab, we could only do it if we used sophisticated technology. And by that, I mean massive machinery and not chicken bones or, you know, copper tools.
Sure. Like lasers, for example. I mean, when you said, doing it in the lab, I immediately thought of the Ramsey statue at Luxor, Karnak, where this Ramsey statue face is perfect. And literally to get the precision, they had to do it in a lab to replicate the same level of precision on the statue, which of course, again, was allegedly built with only the most primitive stone tools. And I guess my question is, if there's a question, is where is, if there were these sophisticated devices, blade technology, laser technology, where are they now?
Well, that's a very good question because that's actually something where that's something that the debunkers are wondering all the time. And that is one of their main arguments to say, well, because we can't find any tools or any of those sophisticated tools that I'm referring to, that means that the whole story in and of itself is wrong. And, you know, on the surface, that might be an interesting argument, but let's think about that for a moment because So, you know, we all know that all around the world, we're building things, you know, giant buildings and things like that. And just imagine for a moment that you build a hospital, and then the day comes when the hospital is opened, and then, you know, the first person is wheeled into the surgery room for surgery. And inside the surgery room, you have a concrete mixer still standing at the center. It doesn't happen. The tools with which that building has been built have been brought to the next construction site. So anyone that thinks that, you know, we're going to find tools wherever things were built is barking up the wrong tree, because the most important thing in these constructions, besides, of course, the result, were the tools. So those tools were, of course, because what we are suggesting and what we are proposing is that the extraterrestrials taught our human ancestors how to operate their machines, that they then, after the work was done, they took those machines again and they brought them to wherever they are right now. So the idea that in some tomb we'll find a tool, that's perhaps possible, but I think it's very, very unlikely, because those tools were only here at the time when they were used.
Mm-hmm. So do you think that it's possible that if there were extraterrestrials who taught humans how to use this technology, that either the extraterrestrials left with the technology when they were done here, or that the technology was destroyed? And I'm referring, of course, to Graham Hancock's most recent book. Yeah. I had him on the show a couple months ago. You know the drill. But for our listeners out there who haven't heard about this, Graham Hancock theorizes that around 12,800 years ago, a massive comet impact hit North America, virtually wiping out all advanced human societies and really leaving only the primitive hunter-gatherer societies, and then kind of the remains, the people who remained from the advanced societies traveled to Sumeria, taught their knowledge, and it got passed down through Egypt. Do you think that that's a viable theory?
Absolutely, because a cataclysm does not deny the existence of extraterrestrials. This is why I have never understood why the idea of extraterrestrials would essentially negate the idea of a cataclysm. What if both happened? Yeah. You know, so the idea to me is that there is no question in my mind that our past happened different than what we are being taught today. So I actually admire, and Graham Hancock is a wonderful colleague of mine. I met him about a year ago. We had dinner together.
Awesome.
You know, the thing is that the reason why I disagree with this idea that, you know, perhaps it was some previous super civilization is because whenever in the ancient texts you read or you follow up on the texts, when our ancestors asked these beings, where do you come from? They never point across the ocean or across a mountain range or anything like that. They always pointed to the sky. So I have a challenge out there, and because a lot of people are suggesting that perhaps or maybe the ancient astronauts, that's us from the future trying to help us, mankind.
I like that idea, kind of.
It's a very intriguing idea, but the challenge that I've issued, and this challenge has been going on now for 5 years, is that if that were true, then someone along the line in our ancient texts, someone, one of these characters had to have slipped up and to say, oh, by the way, we are you from the future. I am not familiar with any such references except that we come from across the deep darkness of cold, which in my opinion is not the future, but that's deep space. So, you know, if my interpretation of deep space is wrong, then so be it, you know. But if that means that means, you know, it's a description of time travel, so be it. You know, that's not my interpretation. But I think that it has more to do with, the cataclysm idea, in my opinion, definitely is valid, but it doesn't negate the idea of extraterrestrial visitation. On the contrary.
Yeah, they could both have happened, and they're not mutually exclusive. I think that's really important. And I just wanted to point out before we go into the break, there's so much evidence too in the text, particularly in the ancient Hindu text that were found in India. the name of the site is evading me right now, but where Rama and Hanuman were, there's actual diagrams of spaceships that actually look like the spaceships that were then used by NASA. It's kind of a trip. So there is a lot of evidence in the text across civilizations and across time and across culture that supports the idea that this has been documented by people, and maybe it's just stories, but who knows. And on that note, you're listening to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly. And when we come back, Georgios Tsoukalos will explain more to us about ancient aliens. So stay tuned, and we will be right back.
Awaken to your radiant, authentic self. For over 15 years, Soul Purpose Advocate Nancy Monson has been focused on leading change in the lives of those looking to live their true purpose. She is devoted to supporting people in living a soul-directed life every day. Let Nancy help you overcome fear, worry, and doubt. Visit everydayspirituality.com to learn how Nancy can be your Soul Purpose Advocate.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life. Each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
There are so many resources out there for meditation, but did you know that Atana's Heart Earth Healing Meditation is available for you for free? Yes, that's right. You can receive this free healing meditation today from Atana Vadili. All you need to do is visit his website, atanamethod.com. That's ATANAMethod.com, and sign up. You will receive your free meditation instantly. That's atanamethod.com.
Hey everybody, this is Dr. Pat. Many of you have heard me talk about the Lyme disease epidemic going on right now in the world. I want to tell you about my friends at Results RNA. They have now created an entire Lyme support system for immune system support, detoxification, rejuvenation, and neurological healing. Please visit ResultsRNA.com to learn more. And for first-time orders, you'll receive a special 10% discount. All you have to do is type in Dr. Pat at checkout.
We are back on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly, and I have Georgios Tsoukalos here talking with us about ancient aliens and more. Georgios, what do we have in store for season 9 of Ancient Aliens?
Well, season 9, I'm absolutely blown away that it's already season 9.
Seriously. Wow.
Yeah, it's the little engine that could, really, truly amazing. And let me tell you, the only reason why we are where we are is because of the tremendous fans. So I really would love to thank everyone who has enabled us to stay on the air for this long. And so without you, this would have never happened. So I want to thank everyone out there about that.
Right on.
But, you know, we are now actually in season 9. I think we are approaching our 100th episode. So this is all very exciting.
Wow.
And we're talking about the idea of so this time what we're going to do is we're actually going a little bit deeper into some of the topics that we've visited previously. For example, in previous episodes, we talked about the idea of the cosmic egg. And now this season, we are dedicating an entire episode to that cosmic egg, this idea that these origin stories from different cultures all around the world are not just similar, but they're almost identical because they all begin with this bizarre story of a silver or a golden or orange glowing egg descending from the sky. It breaks open, and then instead of yolk coming out, it's people. You know, so what more wonderful description of describing or trying to describe a type of craft? Because we have to remember that with all of these ideas, that our ancestors didn't have the vocabulary that we have today. They were as intelligent as we are today, but their technological frame of reference was primitive. So therein lies the difference. So this whole idea that I'm suggesting our ancestors were idiots is nonsensical. Of course they were not idiots. They simply didn't understand what they were witnessing because of a technological understanding discrepancy, not an intellectual discrepancy.
I think that's really important. And, you know, we always hear these stories from the past, and it's usually described as angels, right? It's like explosions and fire in the sky, and then a winged being comes down. And I can't help, every time I hear that, I'm like, that's an alien on a spaceship, you know, maybe.
Yeah,
but they didn't know how to explain it.
Right. It's something. I mean, it's, you know, and I think it's actually quite interesting to explore the idea that, you know, what would we do if we tried to explain something today for which we have no explanation? Well, we would use words that we know. And this is something that has actually stayed with us quite until fairly recently, because when settlers first came to the United States and started to build the first trains, the Native American cultures looked at trains and they called it a fire horse. They looked at the cars and they said that the lights of the cars were the eyes, that the grill of the car was the mouth or the nose and things like that. So these are all things that happened fairly recently. And so to suggest that if we have stories of ancient dragons, that those were really dragons and not some type of machines, like, you know, dragons or fire horses were never actual fire horses, but trains. Well, if something can happen like this pretty much in the present day, then imagine what could have happened or what did happen 2,000 years ago. It must have been wild.
So I guess my next question for you based on that is, if they came, well, first of all, do we have any ideas? I'm sure there's ideas, but is there any evidence as to who these extraterrestrial races or species were and why they were here?
You know, the obviously it's a great question, or these are great questions, but, you know, I'll be honest with you. I really don't care, and I've said this many times before, so it is not the first time I'm voicing this. I really don't care where they're from or what they look like in that case, because all we have to really think about or be concerned about is they are coming from outer space. So, you know, whether they come, you know, five light years, if they're from 5 light years away or from 50 light years, what do I care? They're from outer space. That's exciting enough. So we should see, this is why I think, you know, when you go to UFO conferences and stuff like this, you know, all these different discussions about, you know, well, they're from here and they're from there, and means the spaceship was this and blah.
Oh, yeah.
Who cares? I really don't care. That's amazing if you want to talk about that, but, you know, it's not relevant to me, because the fact alone that they exist, that should be, you know, that should be in the front page of the New York Times, you know, and not the discussion. But, oh, by the way, and so some of the other topics that we're covering, we're talking a bit more about the pantheon of gods from ancient India, the Hindu gods with the vimanas and the different descriptions of the flying machines and weapons and things like that. So we're going to do an entire episode about India. Then we're going to do an episode about Australia, and like you mentioned, I was just in Australia for a couple of weeks filming. There is a place in Kerryong, it's north of Sydney, where there is a site it's in the middle of the bush, and it has Egyptian hieroglyphics there. And all I have to tell you is watch the episode. I think they're genuine, and it was one of the greatest adventures of my life.
Wow. So oh my gosh. Can't wait
for that episode. But awesome. All I can tell you is, I think that those Egyptian hieroglyphics in Australia are genuine, and that in and of itself is, you know, it's crazy to think that there are or may be Egyptian hieroglyphics in Australia. I mean, these are things that we've never heard about or never read about in school.
That's amazing. So bridging off of that, do you think, and again, hypothetically, if ancient aliens were here and were lending their technological prowess and abilities to humans in the past, are they still with us? Are they still sharing their technologies with us?
Yeah, it's an excellent question. And to quickly answer the question, yes, I think they're still here, because one of the most frequent questions that I'm asked is, well, how come I only talk about ancient aliens and, or ancient astronauts, and what about, you know, modern UFOs? How come, and how come, why did they leave? And so the answer to that is, I talk about ancient astronauts because that's my favorite topic. But, you know, the modern UFO phenomenon, in my opinion, is real. And there are other experts that can talk about that stuff way better than I can about modern UFOs. Yeah. But the idea or the question that, you know, how come, you know, ancient astronauts, and why did they leave? I personally never suggested that they left, because if we were to subscribe to the idea that we are their offspring, that we are their creation, then, you know, are you ever going to lose interest in your children unless there's something wrong with you mentally? I don't think that any parent would ever lose interest in their children. So if we are their idea, or not their idea, but if we are their quote-unquote experiment, like, you know, the zoo hypothesis suggests and things like that, then, you know, I don't think that they've ever left. Now, here's the difference between back then and today. The shift has happened in our understanding of nuts and bolts technology. If and when they show up today, as we're, you know, we're being shown it'll happen on TV and through TV programs and things like that, when that happens, I don't think there will be a lot of people who will drop to their knees and wanting to pray because they now think they have, they're witnessing God. I think it's going to be different. It's going to be either, you know, widespread acceptance, or it's going to be mass panic. But oh, yeah. I don't think anyone will kneel down and worship whatever it is they're seeing. So therein lies the difference. Back then, they really thought, they really did think they were being visited by actual gods. But right. I'm preaching to the choir with you. Gods don't exist. They never have. They never will.
I think that part of it is that we have such a different frame of reference, and we have been conditioned by our culture. And I really do. I want to talk to you about disclosure and the disclosure movement, because it all seems to be happening right now, where there's this massive push for disclosure paired with all of this evidence of the ancient aliens, and paired with, like, you know, strange technologies coming out, and then also a whole bunch of UFO sightings and abduction reports. And I know we only have like a minute into the break, but do you think that this is like a conspiracy, that the government is just making us believe all of this so that we can then be united in a fake war against an outer species? I've heard that being argued a lot. What, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yes, I have. And the only thing that I find curious about the whole thing is, why does it have to be fake? But at the same time, you know, this is the whole thing with the new X-Files, you know, and aliens are no longer needed. The worst thing that's ever happened to the universe is mankind. Well, that's pretty much what the new X-Files is saying. So, you know, is that the truth? Then we're all coming on board finally, saying that, you know, we need to watch out ourselves as a species for the survival of this planet, because we are such an incredible, incredible species. There is enough for all of us to go around. Yet, mm-hmm. What do we try to do? Or
take
what
it
are
all
we doing?
Load up.
Yes, you know, and so there's a reason, in my opinion, why we're not being visited officially right now. It's because we're a dangerous planet, and we've got all the tools to make it better, but because out of personal interests and ridiculous ideas and social structures, we are trying to kill each other instead of working together. It's awful.
I completely agree. And when we come back from the break, we're going to talk more about this, the state of our world and disclosure and extraterrestrial influences. So stay tuned. I'm Dr. Kelly on Lucid Planet Radio, and Giorgio Tsoukalos and I will be back in a minute.
What if we really didn't have to die to go to heaven?
Are you curious about the afterlife or rebirth? The highly anticipated new book from author Dr. Susan Allison, You Don't Have to Die to Go to Heaven, is available now. Find out how to find guidance and healing in the spirit realms. Order the book today and put it on your must-read list for 2016. Visit drsusanallison.com to learn more.
Discover the 8 things the elements of prosperity want you to know. Lynn Brown is hosting a life-transforming, soul-expanding evening on April 30th featuring guest speaker and radio host Dr. Pat Basile. Lynn was guided to make this a by-donation event for entrance, and all proceeds will be donated towards uplifting the homeless community. For more information and to get tickets, visit eventbrite.com. That's eventbrite.com and type Lynn Brown in the search.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
Welcome back to Lucid Planet Radio. I am Dr. Kelly, and I'm here with Giorgio Tsoukalos talking about ancient aliens and the future. And where we left off, we were talking about this assertion that disclosure is coming up at the same time as all this other stuff because there's going to be some kind of fake conspiracy alien war that's going to happen to kind of unite the planet into this one world type thing. And Giorgio and I were talking about this before the break about how why does the alien war necessarily need to be fake? It could be real, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, but here's the thing that I really don't think that there will be any war in that sense, because if that really were the case, that, you know, oh, the aliens are just here to, like in Jupiter Ascending or whatnot, you know, to harvest us, or in the
harvest
Matrix.
Harvest us, yeah. They're just the Nibiru type thing.
Yeah, exactly. If that is the case, then wouldn't that already have happened a long time ago before we had the capability of nuking our planet into oblivion? So, because I think that what's at stake here, first and foremost, is not necessarily mankind, but it's planet Earth. Because I think that, you know, planets like ours, while there may be a lot throughout the universe, they are precious, because the statistics show that the likelihood of a planet like us existing throughout the universe or throughout our galaxy is minuscule. So we're talking about these Goldilocks zones where life exists, or life that's suitable to us. So that's important. So let me tell you this. What's important is the planet, not the people on it. And the extraterrestrials, they know this, and this is why we have explored ideas on ancient aliens that, you know, the flood may perhaps have been created by extraterrestrials to wipe out a previous species, the dinosaurs or whatever. And, you know, while I personally am on the fence with those ideas, I think they are valid points to explore and definitely to think about.
Like, maybe they're actually protecting the planet and watching, and here among us watching.
Yes, because like I said earlier, that, you know, we have all this, the tools with which to make it work on this planet. And, you know, we are acting with imaginary borders and things like that. I mean, the other day we were having this conversation where, you know, a friend of ours had trouble getting into Australia, and some guy in the car, he was like, think about this for a moment. Why do I need a passport to travel to a different part of this planet where I am from? And that is a profound statement if you think about this. But then, of course, you run into issues such as the refugee crisis in Europe right now. I mean, this planet is in turmoil right now, and everybody is looking the other way.
Yep. But people are also waking up. And if you're like me, and I think you are, I bet that you're an optimist. Like, you think we can fix it. Do you think we can fix it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, no, well, that's the thing. And this is, and I have great faith in actually our next and our young generations, because, you know, they look, I'm a child of the 80s. And when I was growing up, so let me ask you this. I mean, we're on the air, but let me ask you this. Is this the future that you were promised in the 80s?
No.
Or that you envisioned?
No, it's
different. I remember having quite a warm childhood, and everything was promising, and which it still is. But today, it's just turmoil everywhere. And I think that the young kids are seeing this, and they are now recognizing, or so I hope, that with the technology that we have access to, we can make the world a better place. Because I disagree that in order for it to become better, that we would have to get rid of technology, because there are some people that are now saying there should be a complete abolition of all technology and we should go back to an agrarian society. Are you insane? What are you talking about, man? We can be an agrarian society with technology, and then it would be amazing. So, you know, all these extremes, whether it's on the left or on the right, they're all wrong. It's the middle way. And that is what nobody has understood about Buddhism or any philosophies, where extremism in no way, shape, or form will ever work. And it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's in love, whether it's in politics, whether it's in life. There you go.
Oh, I love that. Dude, philosophical words for life from Giorgio. Thank you. I completely agree. I'm watching all this political stuff unfolding with like so much disgust and frustration. I don't participate in it. And I think it's only there to divide us. And it's like these extreme points of view being thrown back and forth, making us believe we're on different teams and different sides, when really Team Human is the number one team, people. It's really, really easy. Kindness and compassion to each other and Mother Earth. You'd be amazed.
Oh my gosh, that was beautiful. That's exactly right. True. It's so true.
Listen, I'm with you, man. But you know what's really cool? I'm not even joking. Every single guest on my show that I've had, and maybe we're just energetically drawn to each other, but like they've all said, like, yes, I'm positive. Like, yes, I believe we can fix it. And I wouldn't be here doing this if I didn't believe we could. And I think messages like this and talking about the past and where we come from is really, really important. Even if we don't have proof and we're just asking questions, it can help us understand who we are and where we're going. And I think that's the value of the show. And I think that's why so many people love it, is because it gives them context, you know?
Well, I think that, you know, what I've always been a great believer in is that we can learn from history. And it is absolutely flabbergasting how many things that we are repeating, or where we know what the outcome will be or could be. And it's like, oh, I don't know, whatever, because it maybe happened 500 years ago, and everybody thinks, oh, because it was 500 years in the past, the outcome this time will be different. Maybe, but the likelihood of that happening is very unlikely. I mean, because it's all cyclical anyway, you know. So this idea that, you know, some person once said something about, you know, if you're an ideologist, if you're digging a hole and you're practical and you can't get to the bottom, you stop digging. An ideologist, so not a practical person, but an ideologist, they just get a bigger shovel. It's something like that. It's a story about being in a hole.
I like it.
So that's where we're at right now.
Well, to wrap up the show, we only have a couple minutes left. That went by fast, huh? That went by fast.
It sure did, but I had a good time, so this was great.
It was great. I'd love to have you back on in like 6 months from now and talk about, you know, the new stuff that you've been doing and finding. But for now, I just had a couple more conspiracy theory questions that I had written in from the fans. They're asking your opinion. Did NASA fake the moon landing? Is NASA currently faking the Mars rover? Do you have like a – we only have a minute or two left, but what do you think? Yes or no?
No, absolutely not. It was not fake. The moon landing was real. And I got two things about that. Number one, when the astronauts were up there, they left behind these reflectors. So every year, NASA measures the distance between the Earth and the moon with these reflectors. So how did those reflectors get up there if that didn't happen? The idea that, and then the other one is that Eric von Däniken, my mentor and colleague, he wears an Omega watch. And that Omega watch was given to him by Buzz Aldrin. And Buzz Aldrin told him that that was the watch that was with Buzz Aldrin on the moon. Now,
wow.
When you have stories like that, then you can either choose to believe that Buzz Aldrin is a liar or he's not. And I know Buzz Aldrin. I've met him, and I can tell you he's not a liar. And so what am I going to say? Awesome. So all this nonsense about, you know, us not having been on the moon, it's just anti-American sentiment. And you know what? I'm an immigrant. I love it here. And, you know.
Amen to that. Amen to
We've been to the moon, man. We've been to the moon.
And we will be back potentially. That's so much more I want to talk about, but we're out of time. So Giorgio, thank you so much for coming on the show and for sharing such great information. It's been lovely to speak with you.
You got it. Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. And we hope to have you back soon. And I just want to thank all of our listeners and fans, both of Ancient Aliens and of Lucid Planet Radio, for tuning in. I had such a great time today. And you can join me every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Mountain, and 2 p.m. Pacific on lucidplanetradio.com. And you can find out more about me and look at all my writing at thelucidplanet.com. I'm also on Facebook and Twitter at The Lucid Planet with Dr. Kelly. And you can find us on iTunes and SoundCloud and a whole bunch of other places just by typing in Lucid Planet Radio. So find us, text me, whatever. Well, don't text me, tweet me. next week, I am really excited to be welcoming back Paul Armentano, who is the deputy director of NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, where we will be doing a show all about cannabis legalization in celebration of 420, the International Day for Weed. So don't miss us. We'll see you next week. Bye now.
You've been listening to the hit show, Lucid Planet Radio, with renowned psychologist and author, Dr. Kelly Neff. Tune in each week as we illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. This hit show will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake up to the greatest version of yourself. Learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness as you explore the deeper knowledge, passion, and purpose within. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for upcoming show topics and to contact Dr. Kelly.